It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam?
And welcome back to Hour 2 of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. I want to thank you to Sean and Midday Mobile for handing over the mic for Veterans Day. Hey, the Marines have landed, so to speak, and we hope that you will join us as we celebrate Veterans Day with the Scuttlebutt Network. We're transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we are excited to be broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama on Mobile Bay, and we have got a great hour coming up for you. But we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and we'll be hearing from Tom in a little bit from Ed's. Also, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline. Again, thank you to all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. As always, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So join in the discussion on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. You can also check out scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information. And coming up later on this hour of SBN, we will be joined by the newly elected, and it is official, congressman from the 1st Congressional District of Alabama, Mr. Jerry Carl. He's going to give us his thoughts on how he can assist our veterans in his new post. And of course, coming up later, Tom's tirade on Veterans Day 2020. But first, it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by Miss Jennifer Bird from the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. Jennifer, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for all that you do for our veterans and their families.
Cal, thanks for having me, and I want to say happy Veterans Day to you and all our veterans out there, and I want to say a special happy Veterans Day to my favorite veterans, my brother, Daniel Caldwell. So thanks for letting me be with you today. Special day.
Awesome, awesome. I don't know if you embarrassed him by doing that or not.
I hope I did.
There you go. I figured that was part of it. But I know that Gardberg is heavily invested and involved with the veterans in this area. Yeah, and not only with what you do on the legal side, but in the community as well. And we want to thank you for everything that you guys do.
Thank you. Well, you know, we love our jobs because we do get to help the veterans, and there are times when we get to go beyond just what the legal job does. And so y'all did so much for us. It's the only thing we can do is help y'all as much as we can.
Outstanding. Hey, well, let's jump right in. And I know you got some great information on a new court ruling that could affect our Blue Water veterans.
Oh, yeah. This is actually a fantastic ruling. So I'll give a brief review, and I've talked with y'all about this before, this Procopio versus Wilkie case that came out last year. The federal court had ruled that Blue Water Navy vets had to be included with other Vietnam veterans in the 1991 Agent Orange Act. Basically, they would, anyone who served within 12 nautical miles from the shore of Vietnam were eligible for the same service connection for presumptive conditions due to Agent Orange, same as any of the veterans that were boots on the ground or brown water vets. So then after the Procopio decision, President signed the Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act, and the VA finally began processing those claims January 1st of 2020. The problem with that is that the Blue Water Navy vets had to file new claims, which truly violated this ruling that had come out in this previous case, which is Niemer. And you've heard about this case before. It's pretty well known to a lot of veterans. That case was decided or really settled in 1991, and it was a long, hard-fought battle. And the VA, what came out of it is the VA had to automatically reconsider past denials of benefits for conditions that were denied before, but then were later found tied to Agent Orange. So if that makes sense, basically the VA had to go back and pay retroactive benefits to a whole lot of Vietnam veterans that had been fighting for a whole long time. So all that worked really great. It included Vietnam veterans initially for the first 11 years until randomly in 2002, the VA changed its policy and decided to start looking at each veteran to see if they had been boots on the ground or inland waterways only. And so they excluded Blue Water vets, and that ended up, of course, leading to the Procopio decision. So fast forward, we get this fantastic decision, and we're all excited. And common sense would seem to say the VA would go back to including the Blue Water vets the way they did before. That's not what happened. And so a motion was filed to enforce the previous Niemer order. Basically, the Niemer order says that all military personnel who served within the Republic of Vietnam, it covers everybody. You don't get to pick and choose here and there, and that's what the VA was doing.
Basically, if you had the insignia that said you were a Vietnam veteran.
Right, exactly. So, you know, for the first 11 years, if you had that, they included it. But then, as I said, they just randomly decided to stop. So this court order says that's part of the reasoning in the court order is not only did Procopio say this, but you already did it for the first 11 years. What makes you think that you can go back and change it now? So, you know how I am. I like to be practical. On a practical note, what does that mean for our Blue Water vets? It means that they are now entitled to probably a good bit of retroactive benefits. Each case is going to be different. So anyone that's a Blue Water Navy vet needs to have a review of their claims done. They need to go back and look and see if they previously filed. It's going to make a huge difference for effective dates and back pay and stuff like that. But I can't say for each person this is going to happen because every single case is going to be different. So if you're a Blue Water vet out there and you think that you have filed for this previously, you definitely need to go back and look or even get someone to take a look for you and see when you filed. Let's see, you know, what you're eligible for, because this ruling opens a whole new world of benefits for them.
And from what you're saying, the VA is not going to go back and look at this.
Well, they're supposed to under the Niemer law.
Supposed to, and what they're...
Well, that's true.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's like what the VA is supposed to do when you walk in the door and say, hey, I'm here for an appointment. And then when you have to tell them, here's what the law says you're supposed to do, there's what they're supposed to do and then what you have to tell
them. Right, and so I always say, be proactive. Go and look yourself. See, let's find out what you're actually entitled to, so that you don't wait for the VA to do what they're supposed to. Let's make sure they do what they're supposed to do. So, yeah, I agree with you there.
So is that something that, in this case, they should reach out to you and someone or someone at Gardberg, that it's something that you can do proactively, or do they have to start it and then come to you if they can't get done what they...
You know, if they want to reach out to us, I would absolutely love to help any Blue Water vet, and we have a lot of them that we've already kind of started some of this process. But, yes, they can definitely reach out, and if... You know, if they want to do it on their own and then they get kind of lost, they can come to us after that. However they go about it, they need to make sure that they are looking at their claims to see where they are and what they're entitled to.
Now, is it as simple as, and I know Colin says file early and like voting file often, I don't know if it's, but anyway. but But it's not Chicago. But, you know, you file early and keep all the paperwork. Keep all of the paperwork. Now, is this something as simple as them, and I'll let you answer it on the other side of the break.
Okay, sure.
But is it as simple as them just pulling out and saying, hey, no, look, I've got a copy of what I filed and just send it into the VA and that'll be it. So, like I said, I'm going to let you answer that on the other side. She's taking notes furiously now. She's always happy when I trip her out with these questions.
That's a good question.
Anyway, hey, we are talking with Jennifer Berg with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, and we will have more with her when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. And we're broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama on Mobile Bay here for Veterans Day. And we're talking with Ms. Jennifer Berg with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. They are, I might be biased, but they're the best out there when it comes to representing our veterans in that bureaucratic morass that I can say that on the
you
radio.
Can say I that on the radio. Right. I appreciate that.
That's a real word. Now, if Tom said it, Tom would find some way
to make it sound worse than it was.
Yeah,
right.
It is. But anyway, that's why we have him off eating, I think. But anyway, so, you know, prior to the break, we were talking about this decision. How simple is it for the veteran to be able to go back and prove this?
Well, since you called me out so furiously taking notes here, it is never just as easy as pulling out what you filed with the VA. It should be. You should be able to just say, hey, look, I filed this on this date. And maybe 0.01% of the time it is that easy, but the majority of the time it's a little bit more difficult than that. It is definitely a best place to start to go and look and see what you filed, when you filed, even maybe how you filed. It makes a difference at times. So that's if someone is looking and they want to start doing it before they even come talk to us or somebody else, you know, preferably I want them to come talk to us, of course, but if they're going to go talk to anyone, they need to start by looking and seeing what they have. Otherwise, you might have to look at a C file, which is the claims file that the VA has, and it should encompass your entire claim file with the VA, which will include a lot of different things, including whatever applications you've filed. So best place to start, see what you have, and then go from there. But it's never easy, for sure.
And if someone is dealing with this and they do, you know, find that in their file, here's where I originally filed. Mm. Do they have to match it up? Is there another form with the VA that they've got to file with it? Or is it simply just put a letter that says, here's where I originally filed with Agent Orange? And
you know, honestly, this particular ruling is so early. I mean, it just came out last week, I believe, within the last couple of weeks. There's no form. There's no. I mean, there's no standard way of doing this. It may just be send a letter into the VA and say, "Hey, look, this is where I filed it." It may be that you have pending claims already, and so you maybe want to go back and maybe attach something to what you have. Because sometimes these, you know, these I've talked to you about this before. These claims last years and years. You may be 10, 12 years, and it may be something that you found that can be on a case that you already have. So it just depends, as I said, on a case by case basis. Letters are always great, but that doesn't mean they're going to get reviewed by the VA either. So be prepared to take whatever steps necessary and file whatever. But right now, there's nothing standard.
Right. Well, and speaking of nothing standard, I know that the VA has shifted gears with COVID in terms of how they are handling hearings.
Yes, and we've talked about this a little bit. We talked about it before the first of this year because the VA had decided they were going to start testing technology to do these virtual hearings. And our office was actually a part of the testing for that system. And our first one that we had was December 3rd, 2019. So thankfully, the system was actually in place when COVID hit. And so instead of the hearings having to completely stop, they just switched to virtual hearings. So what is a virtual hearing? That's what everybody asked me. It's basically that the veterans law judge and the veteran and the representatives, either from personal computer or even from your cell phone, can have a video hearing. It's as simple as clicking on a link from an email. It is a very simple process. Best thing is no travel is needed. You don't have to worry if a regional office is closed. All you have to do is have your cell phone. And I actually had a hearing with a veteran who was traveling from Alabama to North Carolina to see his daughter, who stopped on the side of the road and had his virtual hearing in his truck with his mobile phone. The judge was in Washington, I was here in Mobile. It works perfectly.
Well, that answers my next question was going to be, does the veteran have to come into your office to be in that link?
No, definitely not. You know, some of our veterans like to. We do have some older veterans that maybe are not as easy with the technology, and they would prefer to come in. Yeah, well, no. Tom could do this. The virtual hearings are that easy. Even Tom could do it.
I don't.
Poor Tom. He's so easy to pick on when he's not here.
Well, when he is here, it's easy too.
That's true.
Anyway,
no, seriously.
No, Tom's the one that calls technical support so many times. Eventually, they say, "Hey, do you have the box that the computer came in?" And they say, "Because you need to put it back in there
and just send it back." I believe that. No, honestly, this is a really easy thing to do. It does help us because not all of our veterans are here in Mobile or in, Mississippi close to us. We have veterans that are in California, they're in New Mexico. I mean, they're all over. I have a few in North Carolina. They're all over. And so what happens is that wherever they are, they log in, click that link on their email, and we have the video chat, and it works just perfectly. It makes it much easier for them not to have to wait to have their hearing. They don't just keep being put back in the queue and rolled over. So I'm very pleased. This is one good thing that the VA and the Board of Veterans Appeals has done.
Outstanding. So do you think that is going to be sort of the model going forward, that they're going to move more towards that and away from any of sort of the in-person?
You know, it's possible. They are pushing it, of course, very hard right now with the world that we're living in. And I think if people get so used to doing this type of hearing, and it is so much easier than having to drive to a regional office, I think that we could easily move to where this is the only way that we do hearings.
Okay.
I could see that. And I think that our veterans would like it.
Great. Now, real quick, I know we talked a little bit about this the last time we had you on. But the C&P exam, there was this ruling that came out that said, the C&P exams are basically going to be outsourced. Have you heard anything more about that? And, where are we, as veterans, what are we looking to face?
I have not heard anything else. And believe me, I have been looking because, as I said when I was on the air, I think this is a terrible idea. There are things that are specific to the military that I think a civilian doctor may have a very difficult time either diagnosing or even being aware is out there, such as Gulf War syndrome or even military sexual trauma issues. And so I've been scouring and have yet to see anything that, number one, confirms that is the way that the VA is going to do it. But I've also not seen anything that says, oh, no, we're not going to do it. So it's a very concerning thing, and I've been looking. Hopefully we'll have some kind of valid official word that they are or are not so that we can know how to address it. But
right.
I hate to leave any of our veterans up in the air, but that's just, we don't know yet.
Right. Well, and I have full faith that once you do have some information, you will be among the first to know what's going on.
Yes, absolutely. That is for sure.
And you will come and let us know.
So. I will definitely let you know.
All right. Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much for all the great information and all the great work that you do for our veterans. Go and enjoy the rest of your afternoon and enjoy Veterans Day.
Might go over to Ed's and have something yummy to eat.
I think that's probably a good idea because eventually I'm going to get there.
If Tom
has left anything at this point.
That's true. Once again, let me say thank you and happy Veterans Day to all our veterans out there.
Thank you so much.
All
outstanding.
Right.
Jennifer Byrd with the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly. And we're going to switch gears here real quick. We are honored to have Mr. Jerry Carl with us here on the Scuttlebutt. Jerry's been on with us before, but now we can officially announce. I guess we can officially announce. Is anybody officially announcing anything these days? But I think he has been officially elected as the congressman to represent this area.
I don't think mine's been contested so far. So
well, that's good.
Don't start a rumor now, please.
Oh, no, absolutely not. But Jerry, it is great to have you on, and congratulations on the win.
Thank you, sir. It's wonderful to be on this Veterans Day.
Well, it really is. You know, we talked with a number of folks about the meaning of Veterans Day and the fact that we're still privileged to be able to celebrate it with everything that's going on and be here at the battleship. We got about a minute left in this segment. We'll talk to you a little bit more
sure. On
the other side of the break. But I know you have a connection to the military as well.
Very, very proud of my son, Marine Corps.
Well, of course.
Hoorah.
I was about to say.
I'm very prejudiced. I fly a Marine Corps flag in my front yard. Everyone thinks I was in the Marine Corps. I was not, but my son and we're a Marine Corps family.
Outstanding. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with being a Marine Corps family. I mean, the Marines being the smallest branch, they tend to be a little closer knit.
Definitely.
Than some of the other services. And I'm not knocking them. It's just, you know, when you have something as large as the Army or the Air Force, and I have friends and relatives that have been in both, you know, in the Marine Corps, they will, you'll meet other folks and they'll say, oh, so do you know so-and-so? And there's a fair chance that you probably have encountered that person sometime in your time in the Marine Corps. You know, in the Army and the Air Force, they don't even bother. You know, it's so big and so broad, and there's so many different specialties all over the place that, you know, they're just like that people think, oh, well, just because I'm in the Army, I'm going to know everybody that's in there. It doesn't always happen that way. But yeah, the Scuttlebutt Network, we are broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship USS Alabama here on Mobile Bay. And coming up on the other side of the break, we're going to speak more with Mr. Jerry Carl from the 1st Congressional District of Alabama. We're also going to try to catch up with Tom if we can stop him from stuffing his face over there at Ed's Seafood Shed. So we'll have more coming up here on the Scuttlebutt on the other side of the break when we return.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
Thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters along with Tom Claxton, and we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today, and we're proud to be broadcasting live from the battleship USS Alabama here on Veterans Day. And of course, we want to thank the folks that helped make the show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 hotline. And we're privileged to have Mr. Jerry Carl, who is the newly elected member of our congressional district here in Alabama. Jerry, thank you again for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Cal. Great to be here.
Well, now, okay, so the election's over, and I know you haven't been sworn in yet, but certainly you didn't come into this without thinking about what the job was going to entail. And, of course, with this being Veterans Day, what do you see some of the challenges that that you can tackle when it comes to our veterans?
Well, you know, veterans is the reason my veteran connection through my son is the reason I actually got involved in this race. It's the reason I got involved in politics as a whole. But, you know, the veteran health care side, you know, I look at the clinics, and they're so much better than they were 4 years ago. I'm going to be quick to say that. The president's done a good job of kind of streamlining some stuff, and hopefully whomever the next president is, we can continue to do that. But, you know, my background's health care, so I understand the management side of health care. I've owned home health care equipment companies and pharmacies and so on and so forth, so I understand the management side. So I got involved in looking at some of the VA before I got involved in this race. I got to looking at some of the VA healthcare issues from the clinical standpoint and the physicians. It's just a bureaucracy. It's a mess. When you've got an internal medicine and one that I got to spend some time talking to, she's seeing 11 patients a day. Well, your average internal medicine is seeing somewhere between 30. You can get in rural medicine and they'll see as many as 60. So that tells you right there it's a flow. And I asked her about that. It's a numbers game, and she explained all the paperwork bureaucracy that it takes. But, you know, a step further than that is she was telling me that if she decides to leave that job, she takes a job somewhere else, and she lets them know a year in advance, the way the law is written for them, they cannot start looking for a replacement for her until she has physically gone.
Right.
So, you know, so that creates a whole new problem. So that 11 per day gets shifted over on two more doctors that are there, so they get further and further and further behind. So I think the VA has got some great people that really want to do a great job, but it's a management issue, and we've got to get some folks, I hope like myself, that can get involved and help streamline. Let doctors be doctors and nurses be nurses and not try to make clerical workers out of them.
Outstanding. Real quick, with a son who's in the Marines, what importance do you have with it being Veterans Day today? I mean, what does it mean?
Oh, my gosh. I get sentimental when I get talking about my veterans. Anywhere I'm at, I bring up my veterans. South Alabama, we're blessed with a very large veteran base down here, much higher than most places. I don't know if people realize that or not. It's a place that several of them want to retire and move in and stay. So, we're just so blessed to have these people around us. And when I get around my veterans, especially as a group, I get so humbled. I mean, they're not bragging. They're the normal guy you see on the street. But knowing where they've been and what they've done and the freedoms that we've had because they're willing to, as I heard Mayor Stimson say today, willing to, sign a blank check. And that's a pretty awesome thing. And I watched my son do it. It was a hard thing to send my son into active combat. Probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But, you know, there's so many of us in America that need to slow down and think. There's so many people like my son. So many men and women that have done that like yourself. And even Tom, we make fun of Tom. But, I mean, think about that for just a second. And that's our veteran community that we need to love on. We need to respect them. They need to know we appreciate what they've done. Especially our Vietnam veterans. I mean, our Vietnam veterans really got cut out of a lot of things. Of course, with my age, I caught the tail end of that, meaning I was a little young for all of that, but I remember most of it. We need to love on those people. They need to know we appreciate them.
Yeah.
You know, this country made a mistake. When I say they made a mistake, we made a mistake how they were treated when they come home. That's the mistake. We've got the rest of their life to make up for it. So I get excited when in the airport when they're wearing a hat and I can walk up to them. And when my son's with me, he'll tell me real quick, that guy's not in the Army. Because he's looking at the way he's dressed or some aspect he catches on to. He goes, don't go talk to him, Daddy. Okay, all right. So, but I love to catch him in the airport and just chit-chat with him.
Outstanding. Well, Jerry, we thank you for being with us, and obviously it sounds like we've got somebody who's going to be fighting for us up in Washington.
And that should be an easy fight. That should be a no-brainer.
Well, you know, it should be, but one of the reasons we started the Scuttlebutt Network is we sat back and we looked, and no reflection on you, but the politicians at the time, we've been doing this for over 10 years, you know, they would find ways to play veterans against veterans. They'd say, well, you know, if we're going to take care of the Agent Orange for the Vietnam veterans, well, we're going to have to take something away from somebody over here. Or if we do it for this group, then we got to do it for this group. We don't have enough money to do it for both groups. So nobody. And so the status quo remained.
I think to privatize the majority of the VA healthcare systems is the answer. General practitioners, the routine stuff you were talking about, we were talking about earlier, to be able to privatize that and push that out into the private sector is the answer. There's some things you cannot privatize. Most doctors don't know Agent Orange symptoms. That's just something they're not trained. Veteran physicians are. I still call it shell shot.
PTSD. Yeah, well, yeah, PTSD.
I get
the thousand yard. I mean, there've been different names.
You know, you can't take a normal psychiatrist and deal with that. You can't put a seasoned veteran in a room with a 25-year-old and expect to get a very good response rate. So there's some things you can't privatize is what I'm trying to get at. But we need to take the volume of this, which is routine medicine, and push it in the private sector. Let's issue a Medicare card. We already have the prevailing rate set. I mean, it's already there. And I've been preaching this for 10 years on my own to anybody that will listen to me. But, you know, it can be done. It can be done. Now, the problem is going to be, you know, a lot of the VA system is unionized. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it's going to be you're going to see union jobs that are being in jeopardy. But the private sector will take those people in a heartbeat because there's such a shortage in some of these fields.
Yeah. Well, just remember, you're always welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network. And, you know, keep us apprised of what's going on and what we can do to help you in your efforts.
All right. Thank you so much for
your time. Jerry Carl, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, have a great Veterans Day, and thank you for your service.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. All right. That was Jerry Carl from the 1st Congressional District. And we've got Tom is back on the line with us live from Ed's. There he is. Hey, Tom, how's it going over there?
Oh, man, I don't know. They just surprised the dickens out of me. Some kind of a recognition and appreciation award up here. I don't want to meet that guy. He's done a lot of stuff.
Read it, man. Read it all.
Good gracious. Hey, Cal?
Yes.
Listen to this. Certificate of recognition and appreciation. We honor your service, your courage, and most of all, your sacrifices. Your dedication to the United States of America, its ideals, and its military is commendable. It is an honorable addition to the freedom you bravely fought and worked for, not only for families in America, but throughout the world. With heartfelt gratitude from everyone here at EdShed, we present this award to Tom Claxton. I want to meet that guy if he's done all that stuff. I mean, that guy, something else.
Well, Tom, it is absolutely well deserved, and I am glad that you were able to get over there to receive that, and it's something that has been coming for a long time.
Well, I appreciate it, brother, and I certainly appreciate it from all the guys at Ed's and all the veterans that are here today to help present this. Brother Reynolds and his wife from October Channel 10 was here and made the presentation, but now I'd like to talk to one of our veterans that is here today from the Glenn Frazier American Legion Post, and we call him Doc because he's an FMF Marine. So we've got Michael T. Kelly. He's had so many positions that he holds, I am not even going to start trying to mention it. Go ahead.
It's good to be with you today. I served the country, and I'm proud of it. And I've done a career. I had a career. And before I was in the United States Navy and was a Fleet Marine Force sailor, I was in the Army. And I got out of the Army and was out for a little while and joined back in the Navy and made a career of it. And I spent 12 years... right at 12 years on the Marine Corps side of the house, which I loved it. And I'm a scrunt, which means half squid, half grunt. And I'm very proud of my service, and especially with the Marine Corps side of the house. I'm proud of it on the Navy side too, but I just enjoyed it so much being with the Marines because they took care of me just like I took care of them. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for a Marine. You know, they say to Doc, go to hell and back for a Marine. And I'm just so proud to be here today in the presence of this ceremony and all of them recognizing us veterans. And we should all be proud of our service, even if it was just for a day. And we should remember to focus on the things in the future, you know. And there's all kinds of sea stories and war stories and stuff that I could tell you, but that to me is not important. Tomorrow's what's important, and the future's what's important. And I feel like that, you know, if our veterans organizations don't start growing in numbers, we're going to lose all of our benefits that so graciously have been given to us by our nation. And Alabama, being number 10 out of all 50 states that treat their veterans right, is a wonderful state. And the only other southeastern state that beats that is South Carolina. Now, all the number ones, the other eight top tens are from, Alaska, and Utah, North Dakota, South Dakota. That's too cold for me.
Hey, Tom.
Man, this guy, he's got a flow, doesn't he?
There you go. Well, Tom, it's great to have you on from over there at Ed's. I know I'm going to be joining you over there in just a little bit, but congratulations to the Glenn Fraser Detachment. Congratulate you again on your honor. We'll see you in just a little bit. We got to roll into the break and into the tirade, all right?
Thank you, sir.
That sounds great. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on Veterans Day 2020.
Tom Claxton.
Top Cat here, 6 feet tall, bulletproof, and back on the line, just in time and ready to deliver the truth. After the election, so-called, results from last Tuesday or last week or the latest lies from last weekend, many of you contacted me to see if I would be coming out of the, quote, bunker anytime soon. Some were worried about my well-being, some wanted to know who was going to win the NASCAR championship, and some just wanted some dating advice. Oh, well. Regardless of your need to reach out and touch the Top Cat, know that I have attempted to respond with a TLC that you all deserve. That notwithstanding, thank all of you for your concerns. In reality, I hit the rack last Tuesday night ready to hunker down for the coming storm. Considering that we had advance notice of an evening of national insurrections / riots / looting / Democratic endorsed violations of social distancing mandates in the guise of protest. Only to awaken Wednesday morning. Well, nothing much in the way of change, but a heck of a lot of hope. Our socialist-sponsored mainstream media, which needs to stop hiding behind clever acronyms such as CNN and MSNBC, and just call themselves what they really are, which is Pravda, was gleefully holding on to the fact that while President Trump has kicked ass on Election Day with a vast majority of real votes, the real tallies were not in and there were still votes out there to be found. I mean, counted. I mean, eventually, they'll get around to tell you what we mean to say and what you should think about it. Figure it out. And of course, here we are, a week later with no real winner and the only real loser being the patriotic American people forced to suffer under a system of elite propagandists with a communist bent. Fortunately for those of us red-blooded American patriots, there is a cure for what ails you, and that is Veterans Day. Yep, the progressive left hasn't yet been able to destroy the love that this country, and especially South Alabama, has for its veterans and military. The damnable thing is there should be no argument over the honor of those who have served, regardless of your political persuasion. Veterans Day is still a national holiday as designated by Congress way back in 1938. In fact, Veterans Day predates its official designation going back to World War I, known at the time as the Great War, which officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, in the Palace of Versailles outside the town of Versailles, France. Officially, fighting ceased 7 months earlier when an armistice, or temporary cessation of hostilities between the Allied nations and Germany, went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. For that reason, November the 11th, 1918, was generally regarded as the end of the war to end all wars. In November 1919, President Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day with the following words, quote, "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride in the heroes, be filled with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the Council of the Nations." The original concept for the celebration was for a day observed with parades and public meetings and a brief suspension of business beginning at 11 a.m. Of course, they socially distanced and wore masks. The United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War I when it passed a concurrent resolution on June the 4th, 1926, with these words, "Whereas the 11th of November, 1918, marked the cessation of the most destructive, sanguinary, and far-reaching war in human annals, and the resumption by the people of the United States of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed, and whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of the date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations, and whereas the legislatures of 27 of our states have already declared November 11th to be a legal holiday, therefore be it resolved by the Senate, the House of Representatives concurring, that the President of the United States is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon officials to display the flag of the United States on all government buildings on November 11th and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools and churches or other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other peoples. Armistice Day was primarily a day set aside to honor veterans of World War I, but in 1954, after World War II had required the greatest mobilization of soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen in the nation's history, and after American forces had turned back aggression in Korea, the 83rd Congress, at the urging of the Veterans Service Organizations, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting in its place the word veterans. With the approval of this legislation, on June 1, 1954, November 11th became a day of honor to American veterans of all war. Later that same year, on October the 8th, President Dwight D. Eisenhower issued the first Veterans Day Proclamation, which stated, "In order to ensure proper and widespread observance of this anniversary, all veterans organizations, and the entire citizenry will wish to join hands in the common purpose. Towards this end, I am designating the Administrator of Veterans Affairs as Chairman of a Veterans Day National Committee, which shall include such other persons as the Chairman may so select, and which will coordinate at the national level necessary planning for the observance. I am also requesting the heads of all departments and agencies of the executive branch of the government to assist the National Committee in every way possible." So there it is, the history, the truth behind what we celebrate today. In reality, we, the ordinary citizens of this country, we celebrate this nation's exceptionalism and the veterans who have fought to preserve it with regularity. It is only through the service and sacrifice of our veterans and their families that we have the freedoms to which we still cling. However, as we commemorate Veterans Day today, let us also not forget those who have served with honor on the battlefield, only to lose their battle with the invisible specter of mental illness. They and their families deserve our honor and respect. While their names will never grace monuments and statues, they too have borne the burden and paid the price for our freedom. Though they are no longer with us, they cannot be forgotten by us as a nation as they have by so many of our politicians. As veterans, we owe it to them to continue to fight for them and all who have worn the uniform. May God bless all, and may God continue to bless America. No proclamation is needed on that. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
Where's your drill, Sergeant, man? Understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans. We thank you for joining us here on Veterans Day 2020. It has been an honor and a privilege to be able to be with you here today, broadcasting live from the fantail of the battleship here on Mobile Bay. Again, congratulations to Tom on his well-deserved achievement. I want to thank all the guests for all of their great information. We hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please tell a friend. If not, tell it to the Marines. Hey, hopefully you'll join us again soon. We will tackle the issues important to our veterans. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.